Sweet Paddy is ready with his kiwi fruit, his banana, and his cup of tea.
I'm ready. You're going to hear all sorts of sounds coming from my mouth, but at least I'm not chewing on nuts this time.
Yeah, that's good for a change, mate. We're back on.
We're going to talk. Well, you go, Mike. You go. You tell them. Tell them what we're doing.
Oh, yeah. Paddy and I, again, not in the same room. So we'll do this like 12 times, going where I start, and then he kicks in, and then he stops, and I stop, and then it'll become a big mess. But then we'll continue at some point. So today we're talking about knee pain. Lots and lots of runners we see have knee pain. Big thing, like
100%.
First thing to say, like, if we see people with knee pain, we always try to see if it's non-traumatic. So if you were riding your bike or running around and you fell straight on your kneecap and you go, my knee hurts, cool. That needs maybe a bit of extra attention because you had a traumatic knee injury. But we're talking non-traumatic knee pain.
Yeah, so knee pain without a clear mechanism.
Yeah.
And like when we talk knee pain, so we're not talking ITB. We've actually already covered that. That was episode 45. This is different. This is what we could just call like knee pain at the front of your knee. So around the kneecap, anywhere at the front, we kind of just group it into what we call anterior knee pain or just knee pain.
Yeah.
So this is when we work with this, and this is probably like, this is literally the number one thing I treat in clinic is like runners with sore knees. I don't ever diagnose it. My diagnosis is your knee hurts. And like, that's literally a diagnosis. There's no point labeling it. There's no pathology. Like you haven't strained a ligament. You haven't torn a muscle. You haven't, done something to like a joint. It's just your knee is just overloaded. So I kind of like it because that's your diagnosis, sore knee.
So you can self-diagnose this one really easy.
Yeah. Does your knee hurt? Congratulations. That's your diagnosis. You have a sore knee.
You can become a physio now. I'm done.
So this is your physio. It's freaking easy. So this is non-traumatic overload knee pain. So like any other running injury, it's an overload issue. So you have pain in your knee because you're putting more load in your knee than your knee wants to have or that your knee can tolerate. So if we go back like 5 to 10 to 15 years, the old school explanation and the old school understanding of this is more like alignment based and what your knee or your patella is doing. So your kneecap is called your patella, and there's something which so many people have been diagnosed with is patella maltracking, which means your patella doesn't sit in the middle of your knee, kind of wants to jut out to the side. And that's a theory of how knee pain is caused, is that your patella is maltracking. It's not sitting well. And a maltracking patella is blamed on a weak VMO and a tight side of your knee, like a tight IT band. That's been the proposed theory, and that's been treated that way for like 20 years by physios. And so that's basically been shown to just be like wrong.
Like your VMO is the muscle on the inside. It's your like your most, the quad that's on the inside of your leg. So if that's tight and the other tight, if that's weak and the other structure is tight, then technically it pulls your kneecap one way and it's not tracking the way it should be. That's old school thinking. We don't believe that anymore. Some people still believe this. But it's not
some true. People do. And a big reason why people believe it is because they say your patella is maltracking, which means your kneecap's been pulled to one side. And if you get some strapping tape and pull your kneecap back the other way, usually it feels better. And so they're like, oh, cool. If they're pulling it in the other direction, it feels better. Then that's the cause. It's getting pulled in one way. It doesn't work that way. It just means that you're putting tape on your knee. So you're kind of supporting your knee, which means you're requiring your knee to take less load. Therefore, it feels better. Is that your dog?
That's my dog. Ignore him. I do it too. He wants to get on the kitchen bench because there's food.
Yeah.
And now he's just staring at me going, bench. You dickhead. Yeah, we're currently in my windmill, wearing my clogs, you know, the usual.
smelling your tulips. Hey, so one thing that's important to know here is when you've got knee pain, there's very often there's no structural damage. Like if you get an MRI on your knee, it'll probably show up blank. It might show up there's a bit of swelling, a bit of a fusion or something there, but it'll probably show up blank. The exceptions to this is if you're maybe an older runner and you've got some arthritis there, that would change it a little bit. Or if you've had trauma in the past, like you've had a knee operation in the past, or if you, you know, you whacked your knee playing soccer 10 years ago, that might actually change things a little bit. But generally speaking, we're talking about non-traumatic overload stuff. So once we've ruled out other things, you get to your diagnosis of sore knee. So how do we, what contributes to sore knee and how do we fix sore knee? So inherently what it is, it's overloaded. So to look at sore knee, we need to look at how you're loading your knee in terms of like movement patterns, running technique, what you're doing to put load in your knee. Then we look at how much load you're putting in, like your running schedule, your training program. And then we also look at how strong your knee is in the sense of how much load can your knee tolerate. So, and a lot of time that comes down to strength and conditioning. So there's heaps to look at. Notice I haven't actually mentioned footwear yet, because I think footwear is probably like the fifth or sixth priority when you're looking at this sort of
stuff. It's basically the last priority. It does have a role, but small. It's the last thing we look at when it comes to this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Because all the other stuff is so much more effective and so much more important when it comes to knee pain. Your footwear, yeah, cool. Last thing there. Like, if we look at movement patterns, Patty.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, if we look at where the knee lives, it lives in between your foot and your hip, basically. So you've got your knee joint, and it's like things can affect your knee, and your foot can affect your knee, and also your hip can affect your knee. So the movement patterns that we look at
is... your ankle does and what your hip does. Yeah.
Yeah, affects your knee.
There you go. We did it. You go.
I'll go. So generally what we look at is how well can you control your knee? Like, how much control have you got in a movement like a lunge or a squat or a single leg squat? And if for some reason that control is not as good as it should be, is it coming from your foot? Is it coming from your hip? And from there, we'll go, cool. If it's, for example, coming from your hip, we need to strengthen your hip.
Yeah, exactly. So strengthen it, but improve your movement control of your hip, which is kind of like coordination as well as strength.
Yeah.
Same thing from your foot. If you've got completely no foot and ankle control, and as soon as you stand on one leg, your ankle just, you know, falls away and you struggle to stabilize yourself there. If you don't have a solid platform on the ground through your foot, your knee sits on top of your foot, so your knee's just going to go everywhere.
Yeah.
So if you've got a crappy ankle, your knee just won't have a good foundation. Can't build a house on sand. So that stands true for the hip as well. So we look at if someone does a lunge and they're floppy and wobbly and they need to throw their hands out to balance themselves, and same thing with a single leg squat. If they can't just go straight up and down, I'm like, okay, there's some kind of movement pattern issue here. So we got to look at that. So if someone does a single leg squat and they're straight as an arrow up and down with really, really good control at different speeds as well, I'm like, cool, maybe movement pattern isn't such an issue for you. The other thing we'd look at, the next thing is just how strong and robust you are overall. So we'll see people like CrossFitters and people who have been at the gym or F45, you know, three times a week for the last year. They're generally like stronger and more robust than the runners who don't go to the gym. Mm. So they have stronger quads, stronger hammies, stronger glutes, which means they have more support over their knee joint, less likely to overload their knee. So just being overall strong and robust. So once you can lunge well, once you can single leg squat well, get really, really, really strong in those positions. And it's like as simple as that. You're just going to increase your load tolerance through your knee. Yep. There's so many ways to do that, right?
So many ways. And then after that, if that's like if you've gotten strong and you've looked after that, then it's your training load management. So don't be a dumb runner. Don't do too much.
Yeah, don't be dumb.
Yeah.
If you're running like 3 days a week, don't do it Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and then rest for 4 days. And, you know, don't increase your load too quickly. All the things we've said before.
Yeah.
Right. It's just.
Just manage your load. Right? Yeah. Manage your load and be smart with it. And if that means you need to, instead of running 3 days a week, run 2 days a week for a couple of weeks, that's fine. Give that knee some time to recover, and then you can build back up again. So managing that is quite important in that process there.
The one thing I'll say here as well is heels are tricky on your knees. So going downhill, especially if your running technique isn't amazing, going downhill really, really bashes up your knees and your quads. So that requires you to be more robust because it puts more load there. So if you do currently have sore knees, I would avoid a lot of downhills and downstairs, particularly.
Yeah, stay flat.
Flat running is better. So that's another way to like manage the load that's going into your knee as well.
Running technique, Paddy. What do we do for runners that have knee pain?
The first thing, like there's a few things you look at and it is different for everyone, depending on how you run, what you present with, and your style of running. There are different things to change. The most obvious and the most go-to is in recreational runners is to look at someone's step rate or their cadence. So I like this for a few reasons. In general, recreational runners, generally speaking, tends to have a fairly low or slow cadence. There's really good evidence that if you increase your cadence by 5%, you take 20% load out of your knee joint, which is like phenomenal. So we're talking, if your cadence tends to be at 160 and you have knee pain, if you put your cadence up to about 170, you've just taken 20% load out of your knee and there's no metabolic cost for that. It doesn't require any more energy. If you increase your cadence more than that, it actually does require more energy, more effort to do that. So usually a 5% increase is somewhere to start. But like often someone will come in, they've got a pretty high cadence and like their knees are sore. So I'm not just going to increase your cadence for everyone. It only works if your cadence tends to be low anyway. So the other thing is a big overstride pattern. Now, this is going to be hard to talk about without visually explaining it at the same time. But I don't like when people have an overstride. Now, to tell if you're overstriding versus like not overstriding, we look at a few different things. I look at where your foot is when you hit the ground, not in the sense of are you on your heel or your forefoot. I don't care about your foot strike per se, but if you're striding out and landing in front of your body, like reaching say 50 centimeters in front of your body, hitting the ground there, as opposed to landing underneath your body, that will load you up more. So you want to land as close to your own center of mass as you can rather than landing out in front of your body. That's the number one thing. And another thing is, and this works really well if you can film yourself from the side somehow, is the angle that your shin is at when it hits the ground. If you overstride, your shin will literally be pointing backwards when you hit the ground. And that's not a great way to accept load. If you land closer to underneath your center of mass, you'll find that you land with more of a vertical shin. And that's a much nicer way to accept load there. Mm. So they're the kind of two things which are pretty easy to see and easy to change. Then there's a lot of other things as well, like how compliant you are through your knee joint. Some people are really, really, really stiff when they run. Some people, when they land, they sink down into the ground as well. So just looking at your knee stiffness or knee compliance as well is super important. There's like low level evidence that say if you're a heel striker and you move to a midfoot strike, that can help as well. But usually that changes too many other things about your running technique and we don't like focusing on the foot strike too much. So that's where I go into for technique. Normally between cadence and overstride, you can have a pretty nice effect on someone. If your cadence is high and you're not an overstrider and you've got knee pain, get it looked at and there might be something else to do. Maybe it's more of a strength and conditioning issue for you where you need to become more robust. Maybe it's a training load management. But I think running technique, you can have some pretty quick wins with someone like straight away just by changing the load that you're putting into your knee, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to fire some questions at you, Paddy.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I've got flat feet. Do I need orthotics now? And will that fix my knee pain? One word answers.
Fuck.
Okay.
That's my one word answer to that.
Well, take that as
have
a no.
Have you not been listening to this I've not listened to the last 62 episodes, bro.
Okay, so don't get orthotics. Flat feet don't matter.
Yep.
Get strong feet, get functional feet. None of the other shit will.
I'm going to put an asterisk next to that. The shape of your foot doesn't necessarily matter, whether you have a high arch or a low arch or a flat foot, whatever. I don't really care about the shape of your foot. But like I care about can you control it? Do you have dexterity in your foot and is it strong? That's what I care about. I've seen some of the most flat feet in the world, absolute pancake feet, run marathon's pain-free in neutral shoes with no support.
Yeah. Cool. Episode 42 with Tim Branson, worth listening to if you have concerns about flat feet or orthotics or anything like that. Episode 6, we talk about cadence for a very long time, so also worth listening to.
Yeah. True.
I think that's it.
Did you? Oh, I thought you had more questions for me.
No, that's.
I just want to say one thing.
Yeah.
One thing on footwear, because I said that footwear does have a role, but not a big role. Just on the back of talking about a slow cadence and overstriding and the role that footwear has in that. So footwear doesn't necessarily have a whole lot to do with knee pain, but it does influence your running technique. And this is where I sit at the moment with footwear is if you have a really good, really robust, really strong running technique, you can wear any shoe and it actually doesn't matter. But if you are not super comfortable in your running technique and you're not really consistent, if you change your footwear will dictate how you run. So if you wear like a really heavy supportive cushioned shoe, that will tend to make you use all of that cushion under your heel. It will tend to make you overstride, tends to make you land with a shin that's angled backwards with a slower cadence. That's what a cushioned supportive shoe would tend to do. Especially if you've run in that style of shoe for the last 10 years, you'll tend to have an overstride, you'll tend to have a slower cadence. Whereas if someone's been running in less supportive shoes, like a lower drop, less stiff for a long time, they will tend to have less of an overstride, less of a slow cadence. So changing your footwear can help change your technique, but really it's definitely not even worth considering initially. Unless a change in shoe changes your technique drastically. Like for me, I know I can run in any shoe and my technique's going to be pretty much the same because I've got a, you know, my technique is pretty well embedded and I put a lot of effort into it. So I just wanted to touch on shoes there. That's all.
No, I think that's a good point to make there where, like, because normally the first people go to is your footwear. Like my knee hurts, I need to get new shoes. New shoes will not fix any pain. It will. It's the last little pebble that you can look at. All the other stuff comes first.
Exactly. And we haven't even talked about like, should I get more cushioning to like kind of support the impact of the ground on my knee? So now it doesn't really work that way. If you have more cushioning, you tend to hit the ground harder anyway. So sometimes even less cushioning in your shoe forces you to land softer. So don't try and build up the shoe underneath your foot to try and give yourself more support for your joints higher up. You want to get your foot good, get your knee good, get your hip good first. Yeah.
Perfect.
Basically. That was like a mini rant. I nearly just lost it there.
You were close, but let's cut it off there.
Okay. Fair enough. Cut it.
All right. Perfect.
So that's knee pain.
If you have knee pain and you have any questions, get in touch. If you don't have knee pain, don't get knee pain. Stay away from the knee pain and then you'll be fine.
Lovely. Best advice ever. This is such a good podcast.
Yeah. Don't get knee pain. Done.
Just don't do it. Don't be dumb and you won't get it. Cool. Cheers, Mangles.
All right.
We will speak to you all next week.
Cheers.